can. What I'm going to talk about is the same thing that I had about a week ago, a little over a week ago, when I talked about fear. When God first made Adam, God made him of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. None of us have ever experienced how Adam felt toward God. And all we can do is imagine. But it was a whole lot better than the relationship we have when we come into the world. Adam had the very Spirit of God indwelling. God breathed into him his breath. And he became a living soul. Adam didn't know what fear was. There was no such thing as fear. The animals God made, there was no fear. Adam didn't have any fear of anything. Why? He was in perfect union with God. He looked upon God as his creator. God let him name all the creatures. And there was just nothing to be afraid of, because he knew he had been made. He knew who made him. He could sense the love and compassion that God had for him, and it was mutual. And it must have been a wonderful, exciting time for that man, and later for that woman. But they disobeyed God. And when they disobeyed God, a sudden, terrifying, dramatic change occurred in both their hearts, in both their inner beings, and they became two entirely different people in relationship to God. They became spiritually destitute toward God. They became totally depraved, cut off, separated from God. The emotional interchange of the spirit that they had with God, that was a perfect one, and all the things that were associated with it, no fear, just love and happiness and compassion and joy, and all the emotions and attributes of God flowing back and forth between them. It stopped. Bam! Gone. And what replaced it? What you see standing here. Afraid of my own shadow sometimes. Adam and Eve passed on what they became. And we've never known that relationship with Christ exactly as Adam knew it with God. But now we can grow in grace and grow in Christ, and our fears can be greatly alleviated by the same spirit that was breathed into Adam. We can experience a certain joy and satisfaction in life, and we don't have to be afraid. I spent a large portion of my life being afraid. And when I first came in the ministry, I was afraid. Still afraid. But I'm not nearly as afraid as I was when I first came here. I was afraid of what people thought of me. I was afraid of not being successful. I had every fear a human being can have. And my fears were great. Scared of my own shadow. Been through two wars. What I'm talking about isn't being afraid on the battlefield. I've been there. I can handle that. But it's a spiritual fear that causes us our problems. And I'm going to talk about that this morning. Now, I give you my word before the Lord. My only purpose in this is to show you something that has helped me tremendously. And I think it will help every one of you. If you'll consider the Word of God and what it has to say. A growing belief produces a decreasing fear. Once I got saved, I was still afraid. It was 11 years before I was scripturally baptized, and after I got scripturally baptized, I was still afraid. When I came to this church as a graduate of the seminary, I was still afraid. To tell you I'm not still afraid would be a lie. But I found an answer and a solution to the problem, where I'm only afraid for a few moments, and then the Spirit of God turns me and he's taught me a lot of things. I want to share the things from his word that he's taught me, and I want to share them with you. And the whole crux of what I'm doing here is to show you the purpose of God's word in your heart and in your life. Because the more you study God's word, the more you see his dealing in your life, the stronger you grow in belief, and the less you fear the things of this life. Genesis 3, 9 and 10. I described what it was like as best I could in the relationship that Adam had with God before he sinned. It must have been ecstatically wonderful, never to have been afraid of anything, because he knew that God made him and God loved him and God was going to protect him, and there wasn't a doubt in his mind because he'd never sinned. Sin brought doubt into the world. Doubt never existed among man. Doubt never existed in Adam's mind or in Eve's mind until they sinned. And it's the doubt in God's delivering power and strength that causes our fears. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden." When he had heard his voice before, he had never been afraid. Can you imagine how wonderful it must have seemed to Adam to hear God's voice in the garden? And the joy that he felt, "My master is here, my creator is here." No fear, just fellowship. Must have been marvelous. But now, I was afraid. For the first time in Adam's life, when he sinned, he was afraid of God and afraid of life and afraid of himself and afraid of everything. I was afraid. Why? Because I was naked. He stood exposed before God. And when he sinned and became what he was, a fallen, depraved creature, he was exposed naked to himself. And he saw himself for what he truly was, and he realized before God he had a serious problem, and he was afraid. And I hid myself. Man's been hiding from God ever since. Why do men continue to be afraid and stay in their lost condition? According to John, in the 3rd chapter, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And a few verses later, it tells about men refusing to come to the light. They won't come to it because they're afraid, and they hide themselves. When you come out to the light exposes you to yourself. And you see your problem that you inherited, and you see your helplessness, and you begin to see the light of the glory of God, and you trust in his Son. And then God does a marvelous thing. He gives you a new birth, a new heart, a new spirit from above, and Christ comes and takes up a permanent indwelling in you. And once he's there, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. And then through God's word, written by the same Spirit that indwelt Christ in all of its fullness, begins to teach you who made you, who created you, who loves you, and restores you to a relationship that is just as great as you're willing to yield yourself to the Spirit of God and study his word and believe what he says. We're afraid because we don't believe. Last Sunday, I used this, or Sunday before last, and I'm going to show you a lot more scriptures besides this. But God knows we're afraid. I thank my Heavenly Father publicly that he understands and knows we're afraid. And even after we have failed repeatedly because we do not trust him and continue to be afraid, he forgives us. But we can learn to have more confidence in God every day of our lives. And the more we learn it, the more complete our life becomes, and the more inner peace and satisfaction we have. 2 Chronicles 20:15, "And he said, Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat." King Jehoshaphat was compressed by a Syrian army that had come down from the north that was going to whip up on them bad. They didn't have a chance. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. I underline four because that shows why we don't have to be afraid. For the battle is not yours but God's. I was born absolutely powerless, totally helpless. As a man before God, I am still powerless and helpless. But in me dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily in the person of Jesus Christ. If this book, if I take it and I study it by the Spirit of Christ that indwells me, and the things that I am led to do, I do in such a way that are not in contradiction to this book. And if I follow the commandments of Christ about living for Him, about telling others about Him, about wanting to do missions work, about wanting to see God's purposes done on this earth, then those things are the very spirit that indwelt Christ in all of its fullness, because He came to do His Father's work. And we don't have to be afraid of anything, because the battle never was ours. It's always been God's. And if you put your heart and your life in one of God's churches, and you make up your mind that there is no obstacle that cannot be overcome, and if the motivating factor behind what you're trying to do is love, now abideth these three, hope, faith, and love, and the greatest of these is love, charity. If your motive in God's church is by the truth in love, I tell you, you cannot fail, because it is God's battle, and God will win the battle in your heart and life, because the same promise He made to Jehoshaphat is to any one of His servants who is willing to go forward and try to do what God wants in his or her life. 2 Chronicles 32, 7 and 8. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid. We're born with that problem. We cannot help it. Every one of you sitting here has it. You may deny it to yourself and to God, but it is the truth. Every one of you, and the man speaking, is afraid. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid, nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with us. Why? Because there be more with us than with him. This was in the time of Hezekiah. Shalmaneser had come across into the northern kingdom and crushed it. He was replaced by Sargon the Magnificent, who succeeded him, and then Samaria was overrun. And he was succeeded by Sennacherib, who came down and had whipped the whole northern kingdom, took the whole southern kingdom, and the only little tiny speck that remained that he had not conquered was Jerusalem. And a vast, unbelievable horde of mighty men who were trained to the hilt in fighting, a trained, disciplined army, surrounded Jerusalem, and actually, according to the archaeological records that were dug up, they fenced in Hezekiah like a bird in a cage. And Jerusalem was about ready to be crushed, and there was no doubt, and that vast army surrounded him. He said, for there be more with us than with him. I bow before God and stand before man and tell you, there are legions of angels of God that will support us and watch over us and care for us as God's servants, ministering angels to us, if we are willing to go forward with what God's word says and do it no matter what the cost, as an individual, and more importantly, as a local visible assembly. There is nothing this church cannot do if its heart is right with God, and if the purpose of this church on this earth is to carry forth the message into a lost and dying world. There is nothing that we cannot do. You just need some willing hearts. You just need some hearts made right by God. You need some people that realize who their strength and power is and are afraid of nothing, because they have confidence in the strength and ability of God to deliver, and not in their own puny efforts. With him as an arm of flesh, all he had was a bunch of men. God made all men. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. That's a marvelous, marvelous promise. I bow before God, and I stand before man, knowing I must answer for what I'm going to say at the judgment seat of Christ. But I tell you, I am convinced that God still has the same promise to his New Testament church. And I believe he is the total summation of our strength, and I believe he will fight our battles. And I believe that as long as God is the source of our strength and our trust and faith is in him, there is nothing this church cannot do in this community and in this world. We are the only inhibiting factors. It is not God that is the inhibiting factor, it's us. And when we get our hearts and our rights, minds right with God, and we're willing to go forward and do what the Bible says and practice the Great Commission, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, we cannot do as a church. And the people rested themselves upon the word of Hezekiah, king of Judah, because the words came from God through Hezekiah. Deuteronomy 32, 6 through 8. Man has a basic problem. I hope you take this personal. I hope this morning, wherever your listening habits have been in the past, and whatever you thought of what I preached in the past, and whatever you thought of what I said, it's my prayer before Almighty God you'll listen to this morning. Because what I'm going to show you here is something that is the absolute truth, and it can make a difference in your life, and it can make a difference to us as a church. We can be a better church because we have a better spirit given to us by a magnificent God, and a growing faith in the abilities of God to accomplish his purposes on this earth will allow a church to do anything. Without that confidence, a church can do nothing. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. We don't have to be afraid of what the community thinks. We don't have to be afraid of what other churches think. We don't have to be afraid of anything or anybody. The only thing we have to have is a reverential fear and respect for Almighty God because of his unbelievable power and his love and compassion and his willingness through his Spirit to fight our battles and to lead us and to guide us and to protect us through all circumstances. And I tell you, there is nothing we cannot do. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Yes, that was a promise to Joshua and Moses. But are we not also God's children? And is this not a better covenant that we have than they had? And is the same Spirit of God not willing to lead us in the same way he has led all of his children throughout ages? I bow before God and tell you he is more than willing. And we are the only obstacle between success of God and our own inability to have faith and confidence in God. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Many church members relegate that to the pastor. They relegate it to the leader. God forbid, you are all supposed to be children of God with an equal responsibility before God to spread the commission and to have the purposes of God on your heart and your mind. And in 20 years I've been here, with all my failures and all my faults and all my shortcomings, I have taught you the word of God. And if you don't have confidence in God now, it's not because I haven't taught you all I know about him, plus some things I don't even know about him that I'm not all that sure of. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's nothing we can do, cannot do, by the power of God. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Before I came here 20 years ago, God came here before me. God wanted me here, and God laid it on the hearts of about 9 people to vote for me. He has been with me here for 20 years. He has never failed me. He will never fail me. He will neither forsake me. I have nothing to fear but doubt and a lack of trust in God. Those are the things in my life that I fear. I do not fear what men shall do to me if my faith is in Christ, but I fear my own lackadaisical attitude and ability to recognize the power of God, neither be dismayed. I bow before God and tell you this morning that as a member of one of the Lord's churches here, I guarantee you, he will go before you. If he lays something on your heart, if you learn in Scripture the way you're supposed to do something, and you go ahead and you do it, he will go before you. He will prepare the way for you. He will soften the heart. I guarantee you, whatever you do, by the leadership of God's Spirit, he'll prepare the way before you. He'll be with you when you're doing it. He will not fail you. Absolute guarantee. He will not fail you. Neither will he forsake you. I bow before God and tell you that if God is going to go before us, if he is going to be with us, if he will not fail us, never forsake us, then pray tell me, what is the problem in our work? It is that we do not trust God the way we should trust God. Fear not. Neither be dismayed. None of us have to be afraid. We have the Creator of this universe as our Savior. We have His Son as the living teacher of our souls and hearts. We have His completed Word written by the power of God with all the power of God incorporated in it. And we have the Spirit of God in this church to lead us. So why don't we go? Why don't we do? It is our fault. It is not God's. There's a lack of confidence on our part. Don't tell me what I need to do. I know what I need to do. And I've been doing it for the last 20 years here. And I've been going all over this country. I know what I'm supposed to do. I may not do it well. And I don't claim to do everything God wants. But I do claim to believe that God is always with me. And for 15 years out on that road, with all those miles and all those maniacs driving and all those dope addicts on Friday night and all the adversity I've had to face because of what I preach and teach, I tell you, God has gone before me. God has been with me. God has not failed me. And God will never forsake me. And I tell you, don't look to your pastor and say, here's what you need to do, pastor. Look in your own heart and look in your own life as a family, as a husband, as a wife, and ask yourself, what does God want me to do in this church? One thing about this church, we've never been organized. And there's a lot of freehand things you can do in this church without any obstacle from anyone else. Belief is the faith, trust, the confidence we have in the abilities of God. That's what belief is. The smaller our belief, the greater our fear. The stronger our belief, the less our fear. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For, because the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You've heard this quoted so many times, you can almost say it yourself. Some of you can say it a lot better than I can. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Literally, go ye as you are going, make disciples. Every one of you, every day of your life, go somewhere. Jack's a policeman. Bill's a God-called missionary Baptist preacher and a mighty fine one. Bill's going into the real estate business and he's going to meet a lot of people. Johnny works on engines. Thelma talks a lot. If we could just get her out in the public, we'd win the whole world. Every one of you go about in your everyday life. God goes before you. God is with you. God will not fail you. And God will not forsake you. What's wrong with each one of you sitting here to claim the promise of God with a great commission? As you are going, make disciples. He didn't say get out there and get on fire and win them the first time you met them. He didn't say tell them about Jesus and if they don't accept him, turn your back on them. Live a life, Christ-like life before them. And let them know you care about them. And tell them what you have here. Listen, I'll tell you what I've got here. I've got an inward peace and security. Kenneth, you're a part of my life, and so are you, Shirley, and so are you, Sister George, and so are you, Alan, so are you, Sister Beulie, so are you, Bill Kennard. Every one of you are part of my life. This is the greatest thing ever happened to me. I thank God for this wonderful thing. Why don't we share this with people in town? Why don't we tell people what we've got here? Why don't we invite them to come and get to know them? And when they come down here and walk in those back doors, why don't we go back there and be friendly to them? Why don't we go back there and show that we want them here and that we care for them? You can do it. I can do it. Only because God goes before us, He is with us. He will not fail us, and He will never leave us. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations. As you are going, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Here's what we're doing here this morning. I'm no better teacher than anyone else here, but I know what the Bible says. Bill Kennard's taught this for years. He's taught it for years. Kenneth's taught it for years. All of you that ever taught have taught it for years. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Why don't each one of us make up our mind here this morning, this very morning, that this week I'm going to believe God is going to go before me. I'm going to believe that He's with me. I'm going to believe He won't fail me. And I know He'll never forsake me. And why don't you talk to somebody about what you found here? Because if you haven't found something here worth having, this church isn't worth having. And I found something here that I wouldn't trade for all the money in the world. It's an inner peace and trust and satisfaction in the power of God's ability to work in your individual lives and in my own, and for us to do more mission work, for us to be more mission-oriented, for us to be more soul-oriented, for us to have a heart that God gave us to exercise to carry out the Great Commission. Listen, He brought them into the land, and I tell you, the Great Commission is more important than their going into the land. And if God was with them and did all that for them, I guarantee you He'll do it for us. But the only problem is our doubt, because we inherited the Adamic nature. There's only one thing that can overcome the Adamic nature: the power of God in Christ living in us. Isaiah 44, 6 through 8. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who is I shall call, and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people of the things that are coming, and shall come, let them show unto them. He said, I can tell the future. No other God can. He said, I can tell you what's coming in the future. I can tell you what's in the past. I can tell you what's in the present. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I can tell you everything in the future. So why can't He go before us? Why can't He prepare the way for us? Listen, all power is in the hands of God's Spirit. All power. We have none. We need God's spiritual power. And the spiritual power is in the Word. And the Word comes alive in us and transforms us into people that have no confidence in ourselves, but all confidence in God. And when we have all confidence in God, nothing can be restrained from us. Nothing. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. If God was willing to use Israel as an instrument without any power and work through His Spirit to witness to a lost and dying world, then why in these last days are we so complacent and set in our own agony and moaning? We need to get off our backsides and let God's Spirit lead us and direct us to do the things in our lives that God meant for us to do. And let's quit feeling sorry for ourselves. Let's quit looking at our own personal problems. And let's say, the only real problem I've got is a problem with God where I'm afraid. You don't have to be afraid of anything, because God loves you. God's Son died for you, and He's willing to carry you through any trial, any trouble, any period of trial. He'll do it, because He said He would do it. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, Matthew 14, 26, 27, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You understand. And even though I know the very things I have told these people this morning is the truth, yet, Lord, we are still afraid. And Lord, I want to thank You personally, because
you haven't abandoned us. And time after time, and again, we will be afraid. But Lord, I'm thankful to you that you understand. And you keep on forgiving. And you keep on supporting. Lord, be patient with us. Be merciful to us. And help us to see your glory and honor, that we may be better witnesses in your service. It's in your Son's name I pray, and for his sake. Amen. We don't have anything to fear, as long as we're doing what the Bible says, and as long as we're following the Great Commission. Look at these men. This was the first New Testament church. Look at us. He had already performed the miracle of turning water into wine, an absolute chemical impossibility. He had fed the 5,000 with 12 loaves of bread taken up afterwards with a few loaves and fish. He had performed miraculous works and it healed. And here they were, still afraid. Even after I've preached to you this morning and standing here, I'm still afraid. But what a God we have, that he understands our weakness and our character, and forgives us and keeps on strengthening us. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I say amen to what Jesus said, and he doesn't need my amen, but that's the whole crux of a Christian life, is realizing that God goes before you, that he's with you, that he doesn't abandon you, that he's always there to protect you and lift you up when you begin to sink. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, I hope you'll memorize that. I hope you'll memorize that. And every time your fears come on and your doubts begin to assail, I hope you'll realize God didn't just say that to them. He said it to all of us. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. That's what the scripture says. Amen. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I want you to notice something. He's already been crucified here, resurrected from the dead. They've seen all the miracles. They've seen him alive. Thomas has thrust his hand at his side. There they are, the first New Testament church, and here we are. I thank God that he does not forsake us, even though we are so weak in the flesh that we will always fear. But thank God that he's always there to forgive us and pick us up. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. They were still afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. After all the miracles, the 11 disciples, the first New Testament church, there they are. Traveled with him for over 3 years. Saw the miracles, saw the man, knew he was God. Into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. He's getting ready to make his ascension into heaven. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. I thank God that his Spirit inspired that book. Because those men could never have admitted that except by the leadership of God's Spirit. He said, but some doubted. They were honest men made honest by the Spirit of God, and they still admitted it. We need to admit that we have doubts. We need to admit that we have fears. For it is in those doubts and fears, which are a part of our fleshly nature, that God's Spirit can strengthen us spiritually, and those things can be overcome in our lives. Even though they are continually there until we breathe our last breath, we can get past those things because we have the Spirit of Christ indwelling us. And in every New Testament church, we have the special power of His Holy Spirit and anointing over that group and in that group and leading that group. We just need to respond to it. And Jesus came and spake unto them. They had fears. They had doubts. Notice what his answer was to their problem. It's the same answer today. All, not some, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And after he said the same thing, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Why? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is the commission that God gave to us as a church. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He's always with us, always. I bow before God and tell you without question that this morning the spirit of that very man is here. And it is the same spirit that uttered, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. That is a commission to a church, both individually and collectively. That's our role here. That's our job. That's our commission. That's our assignment. God has never given an assignment He did not give the full power to complete. We can do it as a body, a visible assembly. We can grow in love. We can grow in hope. We can grow in faith. We can learn to trust one another. And in so learning to trust one another, the power of God and His purposes can be accomplished in this church. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Look what he says. And ye, speaking Himaeus to the whole church, ye are complete in Him, individually and collectively, which is the head of all principality and power, both those that are spiritual and those that are of the flesh. He is the head of the church. He is the foundation of it. He has given the church the commission. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want you to think about what you've seen here on this screen and heard. I want you to understand in your heart and comprehend and grasp and claim it. It's God's promise. I want each one of us this morning here to look at this and ask ourselves, am I doing what God wants? This man saves. And God will place you in Christ this morning. And He will place Christ in you if you'll trust His Son. You know what salvation is? Paul said it was repentance toward God. What is repentance? I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry I'm a sinner. I want to change. If you can say that this morning, that's repentance. I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry I'm a sinner. I want to change. That's repentance toward God. Paul said repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What's faith? I believe He's the Son of God. I believe He died for all my sins. And here's the final ingredient. I'm going to trust Him to save me from what I am. You can't change what you are by birth, but you can be given a new spirit and a new heart and a new life. You don't know how to obtain it because you don't have any idea how to do spiritual things. So you're going to have to rely upon Jesus to do what He said He would do. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In a moment, we're going to have a silent prayer. As I've said so many times, I can't save you. This church can't save you. Baptism can't save you. And you were born with the Adamic nature. You're absolutely incapable of saving yourself. That just leaves God to do it. And He's chosen to do it in Christ. In the silent moment of prayer, there's nothing stopping you from praying to Christ and asking Him to save you. You say, how do I know He will? That's faith. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll save you right where you're sitting. Repentance toward God. I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry I'm a sinner. I want to change. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe He died for all my sins. And I'm going to trust Him this morning by asking Him to save me. If you're willing to do that in these few silent moments of prayer, then after you've done it, you've done exactly what God asks. And trust is believing that what He said is the truth. When you come down this aisle, all you have to say to me is, this morning, I've asked Jesus to save me. And I believe he has. Then I'll ask you, would you like to unite with this church by baptism to be a part of it? Not to be saved, but because you are saved. And if you say yes, then I'll present you to the church. Everybody will vote for you. We've never had anybody voted against. If Jesus receives you, you don't have to worry about us. And you can become a part of this church. And you can become a part of this promise that God gave through the Great Commission. If you're looking for a church to work in and to serve in, this is the church. We're trying to learn to love. We're trying to grow in faith. We're trying to grow in hope. Maybe you've been saved for a long time. This is your opportunity to come and become a part of this church, so that the same promises of God that were given to the church through the Great Commission, you can be a part of. But I thank God, he's left it in your hands. If there's one scripture that I'm thankful for in the Bible above any other, it's where God said, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not how eloquently I preach. It's not how accurately I preach. It's God's Spirit dealing with your heart. And I thank God that it's up to you individually as to whether or not you want to be saved, you want to be baptized, or you want to serve God. In these few silent moments, I'm going to urge you to look in your own heart and life. You know the need there. And as God's Spirit deals with you, it's my prayer you'll respond to his Spirit. He's never had anything but your best interest at heart.